Here's Channel 8 reporter Jim Paulin with a recap of the week's events.
Died when he was swept overboard off the crab fishing vessel Exido. Another monstrous wave struck the Bering Star the same day, last Wednesday, causing substantial damage but only minor injuries. The wave crashed through the wheelhouse window, disabled the vessel's electronics, and actually stripped the sweatshirt off the crew member at the helm, according to skipper Dewey Hostetler.
Took a wave that wiped out the wheelhouse. Took out a window, wiped out the electronics. Broke the radar on top of the wheelhouse, tore the life raft off, and put it into our season real quick. It's purely chaos. I mean, the alarms went off. It took the guy, it broke the wheelchair back, threw the guy through the back door, out the door. He's lucky to not have gone over the side, number one. And he's lucky the window didn't hit him. It hit close to where he was sitting. And we were just jogging, just at an idle, you know. By the looks of the damage to the boat, I don't care who was driving, it would have happened to us. But the wave hit, and the water came in, they broke the back of the chair back, tore the crew member's hooded sweatshirt right off him as it threw him out the door. And he didn't even know where it was. And then he went to get up, you know, off the back deck there. And he went to get up, and the life raft came flying off top of the house over his head. Well, we lost all electronics, totally. Luckily, we still had propulsion and lights, generation power, and we had a hand steering, which we had to steer back to town 240 miles by hand.
What was that like?
Well, there was no chair to sit in. It was pure hell. You know, you had to stand and try to stay on some kind of course. You know, I was fortunate enough to have a magnetic compass we could set a...
Five?
Yeah.
Do you have any assistance from other vessels?
No, I had one VHF radio.
It's awfully dark through my screen now.
I hope
it comes out.
I just called the Mayday, gave him my position to let him know what happened, in case there was anything further, emergency. And once we got a piece of plywood over the window, and was able to contain that, assess the damage, and figure we still at least had hand steering and propulsion, we could get to town. Well, it's obvious there's a need for a change when you only have 14 days of fishing time for the whole year between a Pelio and king crab. And this year in particular, it blew over 57 of those days. You know, I mean, just take a look at the record of lives that were put in jeopardy, very serious accidents, boats lost. The amount of time and effort put in for just that 14 days, and to see what the result is, it's not good. Hope that there can be some changes made to make this fishery safer. The number one thing is safety for the boats, the crews. You know, you've got a lot of men out there risking their lives for this industry, you know, and like I say, when all it takes is one guy to lose his life, and you know, you ask yourself, is this worth it?
And other fishermen want the current derby system changed to eliminate the derby and replace it with a system of individual fishing quotas or cooperatives for safety and economic reasons. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council is now studying such a system and may take action sometime next year. But a new system known as rationalization will require action by the U.S. Congress because of a moratorium they imposed on individual fishing quotas. And a proposal to award quotas not only to fishermen but also to processors remains controversial. While some boats experienced hardships, other crab fishermen had a season that was not so bad and returned profitably to port. Eric Nyhammer is the skipper of the crab fishing vessel Rollo.
Well, I'd have to say it was pretty good overall. Our catches weren't as good as we'd like to see, but I'm pretty pleased with the way the stocks looked out there. Seemed like a lot of crab and a lot of area, and I just think to me, I have a good feeling that things seem to be on the rebound. The stocks are building, and it's good, it's comforting. I mean, even though we're still just scraping by, but it's at least it's comforting to see that.
Can you say what your catch was?
The catch?
Yeah,
we had probably around 36,000.
36,000 pounds.
Yeah, I think average is going to be like 28, 29 or something. I haven't figured it out, but somewhere in the ballpark of that. So just a little bit above average.
Pretty short season.
Yeah, it was. It's just a derby, you know. I mean, you just go out and say your Hail Marys and set the gear, hope for the best, you know. It's just a roll of the dice to get out there and throw them out unless you've got some kind of inside information, which there's always a few people that all manage to get a little inside information before the season starts, which is huge advantage.
How do they get that?
Well, you know, if you do the crab surveys before the season, you know, that's the one way. The boat did the crab survey 2 weeks ago or whatever before this season. They just happened to have 100,000 pounds. So go figure.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, guys have friends on longliners that have been fishing out there and getting crabs on the hook. And then guys could go up there with bait pots of fishing for cod. 2 weeks before the season, they have to be out of there. But they get a general idea of, well, you know, is crab in the area or crab not, you know? I mean, so that, you know, that right there is a huge advantage.
Red King crab season closed last Thursday after just 3 days and 8 hours, the shortest season ever. This price is $4.80 per pound paid to fishermen. The total catch comes to 7.6 million pounds, 1 million over the quota of 6.6 million. State biologist Forrest Bauer said the closure was announced with just 11 hours advance notice, the least ever and well short of the typical 24-hour notice, because of concern about fishermen exceeding the quota. He said the catch rates increased after the closure announcement. For Flash on Alaska, this is Jim Pollan.